When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my friend and good buddy and fellow Bulls fan, Mr. Trey Hill. And it is trade deadline day, Trey. Trade deadline day has come and gone. Lots and lots of movement in the league, which we're going to cover all of that here today. But the Bulls, they stand pat. Zero moves. Does that surprise you at all?
A little. But not a lot. I feel like I didn't see any moves that happened today where I was like, well, where were the Bulls with Derrick Jones Jr. or where were the Bulls with Troy Brown Jr.? There, to me, it just didn't seem like there was anything that I didn't see anything that I was mad the Bulls didn't pull the trigger on. I know a lot of years we would give Garpax a lot of crap for saying things like, oh, well, Mike Dunleavy coming back from injury, that's our trade deadline win. I remember that 1 year. And, I don't want to give the, I hate doing the, well, we have injured guys and they're coming back, so that's our trade deadline win. But when you have so many starting caliber players injured, I think it's fair for the front office to come out and say, we like this team when they're healthy, they're just not healthy.
And that's pretty much what Arturas said. I was actually going to get, I'm trying to find the exact quote here, but Arturas did give a very Garpax line along those lines, Trey, which I kind of find a little funny because if it is Garpax, we kind of give them a little guff, like you said. Here it is, if I can get all these pop-ups to go away. Why is this pop-up? Can I just block you?
Stop. I will say, as you're getting the doing the pop-up fight, if it was Garpax wouldn't have the team in place that Karnaschovas has. So to get some leeway, you have to earn it. And Garpax hadn't earned any for a while. So do you have the quote ready?
Yeah, I do. Words are words. I mean, it is what it is. I did have it. Oh, gosh. Now I just freaking lost it again. I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. I've got it here. It's somewhere in here. But anyways, it was along the lines of here we go. I think it reflects that we like this group, Karnaschovas said when asked about standing pat. Head coach Billy Donovan obviously said it all along. We're just waiting for guys to come back from injuries to get this group together because we had a short sample of 16 games where most of our guys were healthy. That doesn't include Patrick. In those 16 games, we were top five in offense and defense, so we looked like when everyone was healthy. Hopefully we'll get this group back and see what we can do. So he didn't name people. He didn't say, hey, we're acquiring this specific person or anything like that. I don't think he did anything like that. But, it is a little bit of a Garpax line there. It's like, hey, we're getting guys back, and that's going to be our trade deadline. I did want them to add, we've been talking about adding a big body. I think it's still possible in the buyout market. We'll talk about that at the end of this show too. A little disappointed, like you said, I'm not super surprised. I did think, you know, they're going to make a move in the margins if they did anything. I think the one thing they had, like you said, was the Derrick Jones Jr. contract. I think from what I saw from the trades today, other teams just had more to give, just better offers out there for guys. We'll go through these trades one by one trade and just kind of analyze them and give our little takes on what the Bulls, how this affects the Bulls. But some of the guys I had on my list ended up getting traded today. And I just think the teams, again, just had better offers than what we had to give. What do you think?
Yeah, because it comes down to get something, you have to give something. And I think the Bulls, wanted to see what this group can do in terms of the core players. So they weren't really looking to move anyone with, you know, a lot of talent to be able to bring in some real talent. So to me, it was always going to be a margins move. I saw Daniel Tice got moved for Schroeder. I was kind of disappointed We weren't able to bring Tice back. You know, a big like that, I think, would be a nice stretch for us. Mm. But there, you know, that we didn't have a point guard to offer like Schroeder.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things. We didn't have the pieces on the margin trades that I did like. And I would much prefer to hang on to our guys and see what we've got rather than, say, package them together to get Sabonis out of Indiana, you know, who's now a king. We would have had to top Halliburton and Hield. And I would, you know, the Bulls could do that. But I wouldn't have wanted the Bulls to do that.
Yeah, and I'm absolutely stoked that we didn't end up trading Patrick Williams for a Jeremy Grant or a Harrison Barnes or something like that, as some people were suggesting. I just was not a fan of that. You weren't either, I know. So just absolutely stoked. You are listening to the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls show here. Listeners, please take a moment to go follow at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis too. Again, that's at Ethos Fantasy BK on Twitter. Go follow it now. I was actually on the Sports Ethos Trade Deadline Special, which is more of a fantasy-oriented show, earlier, but we were breaking these things down as they happen. I know you were at work, so you didn't get a chance to really break this down in real time, so some of these are going to be news to you, but we're going to go chronologically. We're going to go from the first trade and then just kind of go from there just in time. So the first trade that broke this morning was a four-teamer, which was kind of surprising. It was Detroit, LA Clippers, Milwaukee Bucks, and Sacramento Kings. Detroit received Marvin Bagley from Sacramento. The Clippers received Semi Ojeleye and Rodney Hood. Milwaukee received Serge Ibaka and two future second round picks and cash considerations. And Sacramento received Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Jackson and Trey Lyles. Off the top of my head, man, I'm going to let you tell me what you think here too, but let me let you digest it a little bit. I thought the Kings knocked it out of the park here. I really felt like they needed to add a defensive backcourt guy. I think Davion Mitchell is fantastic in that respect, but they needed more just length and athleticism in that backcourt. So I think Dante DiVincenzo is a real home run for them. I love what the Kings have done to reshape their roster, to be honest with you. I know I gave them some guff at trading Tyrese Halliburton for Domantas Sabonis. I think getting rid of Halliburton is really tough to swallow. But what do you think, man? Kings, how are you feeling about their trade deadline here?
I like what the Kings have done. I was on a different podcast with a Kings fan, and he was pretty upset that they traded Halliburton. But by the end of the podcast, he kind of settled on, well, Sabonis is good. He's only 25, which to me, the Kings being able to trade, it sucks to trade Halliburton, but it's not like you're trading Halliburton for a guy who's 29. You know, Sabonis is 25. Fox is going to be getting ready to be 24. So they stayed, you know, they stayed in that same time frame. I like the team they're building. But with the four-teamer, I really like Marvin Bagley on the Pistons. And I really liked Ibaka on the Bucks. Those were the two winners of the trade for me. I think Ibaka is great Brook Lopez insurance. And he's just another big to throw out there around Giannis for playmaker Giannis to have fun with. The few Bucks games I've seen with DiVincenzo, I feel like he's about a year away from that, you know, getting back from that injury, which that's not going to hurt the Kings too much. And yeah. I really like Marvin Bagley on the Pistons because I like what the Pistons are building with this kind of everyone is 6'6 or taller. We're kind of interchangeable. I want them to get one of these big centers in the draft. But for this four-teamer, I think I've got Bucks 1, Pistons 2, Kings 3, and then Clippers 4.
Yeah, I like Serge Ibaka on the Bucks too. I think you know, as far as the Bulls implications, we'll talk about that in a minute here. But I think it does make them stronger because, like you said, Brook Lopez. I think there's a good chance he doesn't come back this season, and they're going to need Serge Ibaka in the playoffs as just a big body to throw out there for 10 to 15 minutes. He can get blocks. He's looked a little bit like Serge Ibaka light in the last week or two, which is fine. I mean, that's in that kind of role. For the Milwaukee Bucks, I think that's good, and that works for them. They also have two future seconds there. So pretty good for them. Marvin Bagley, yeah, interesting. I'm interested to see what happens. Hitting the reset button in Detroit, I think everyone pretty much guessed that, they'd want to hit the reset button for him. So I hope it works out for him. I think it's worth it for Detroit to take a flyer on him and see what they got and see what happens. I mean, his contract's up at the end of the season. So, we'll see if they're able to re-sign him or not, or even if they want to. If he doesn't play well for them, they might not want to. But they didn't really give up anything of note here to have that chance. They gave up Josh Jackson and Trey Lyles, which really probably weren't in their future plan. So I think it's a good trade all around. Makes a lot of sense for everybody. Let's talk about Bulls implications, though. Obviously, if the Bulls do end up, I did see it earlier on Twitter, somebody posited, the Bulls could fall to 7th or 8th and end up facing the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round. Serge Ibaka, more length. That's going to be tough for us, man. I think that does make that Bucks team stronger. So that's not good for the Bulls, right?
It's not, but I don't believe Mark Kay. I don't think he's right. And
so I wasn't going to say his name, but yeah, go ahead.
I'll call him out by name. Mark Kay, you are wrong. We are not facing the Bucks in the first round. We will not have to worry about the play-in, but we might see the Bucks in the second round. And Ibaka being an addition, that's something to worry about.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. 6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If it was, looking at this trade specifically, would I rather face the Bucks with Dante or with Ibaka? I'd rather face them with Dante. So, the Bucks got stronger. They were my title favorite at the beginning of the year. They're still my title favorite now, and this just kind of strengthens that for me.
Marvin Bagley, that was one of your guys that you thought the Bulls might want to take a flyer on. I know you mentioned him a few times, so a little upset that the Bulls didn't end up with him. Or do you think, we didn't want to give up anything for him, right? We were hoping to get him just for basically nothing.
Yeah, and like you said, the Kings were looking for kind of a defensive-oriented guard that the Bulls were more looking to give up fringe assets and maybe, you know, future first, whereas the Kings are looking to get into the playoffs. They want to break the longest playoff drought in sports history. That is their goal, and future first, that simply wasn't going to get it done for Bagley.
All right, so let's move on to the next trade of the day, which was the Toronto Raptors and the Spurs. I like this one too, man. The Raptors, they get Thaddeus Young, another Bulls guy, another Bulls target for us. They get Drew Eubanks, who they actually waived shortly after. And they also got a 2022 second-round pick via Detroit. The Spurs received Goran Dragic, either they waived him already or they're going to waive him. And they also got a 2022 first-round pick, which is lottery-protected. I like this both sides too. Thaddeus Young, obviously, we know what he brings. The Raptors absolutely desperately need a depth. They're looking for a center to be rumored. I'm a little bit surprised that they waived Drew Eubanks, but I think Thaddeus Young gives them what they need anyways, and he can play, you know, a little bit of small ball five also. He played five for the Bulls quite a bit when he was here. So talk to me about the Raptors. What do you think about the Raptors here? You like it for them?
I happened to be on break when this trade hit, so I was on my phone, and I loved this trade when it hit because at first it looked like there was a good chance Thad Young might just end up getting bought out. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that the Spurs got a first-round pick for him, and then I was like, well, nope, he's on the Raptors for good then. Yeah. So I think it really helps the Raptors. Thad Young's playmaking from the big position, I think, is his most underrated trait. And the Raptors have all of those guys. You know, again, they're another one of those teams where they have all of this size and all of this length. And Thad Young is just going to fit right in. He's going to be able – Nick Nurse runs some complicated defensive schemes. But Thad Young's going to be able to come in. He's going to communicate. And he's going to he will be able to slide in and play and not screw things up. Excellent trade for the Raptors. And the Spurs are clearly looking to reload and to rebuild. And I think it's great for them to be able to get a first-round pick out of this for Thad Young.
Yeah, they give up Thad Young and Drew Eubanks, who really weren't in the rotation at all. Eubanks was getting minutes here and there, but Thad was obviously not playing at all. And they get a first for that. So that's a big win for the Spurs. If you're a Spurs fan, you got to be pretty happy about that. I don't know about the future protections in that pick or when it converts or what happens there. But I have to imagine any kind of first-round pick for those guys is a big win for them. So works for both sides. I think Thaddeus Young, obviously, as far as Bulls implications go, that was one of our guys who wanted him to be traded and then waived, which obviously, like you said, not going to happen. They give him a first-round pick for him. But what this does tell me, Trey, is it tells me the Toronto Raptors are serious and they're making a bid to win this season, man. They want to push the gas pedal and really try to make some waves in the playoffs this year, which scares me, man. This is a scary team. I've said it before. I don't like matching up against the Cavs or the Raptors. Those are two of the scariest teams outside of the top teams in the East, I think, that the Bulls can match up with. So if the Bulls end up like in a 6-3 matchup or something with the Toronto Raptors, that Thaddeus Young play, I mean, that's gonna come in clutch, right? That's going to be just make them all the stronger, right?
Yeah, that worries me. The Raptors are 8-2 in their last 10 games. Siakam's been playing like an all-star since he's gotten back. And we both like this team coming into the season. I think they're going to be significantly better than either one of us even thought.
Yeah.
And I am worried about seeing them in the first round. I think they match up well against the Bulls, and I think Nurse would run a lot of crazy defensive schemes to confuse DeMar and Zach. And as strong as those two play, they're not elite playmakers. So if you're running things to confuse them and you're making them have to process things, you know, if we waste four possessions a game because of that, that's, you know, that's four possessions, and in close games that could matter. So to me, the great trade for the Raptors. As a Bulls fan, it just makes me worry about seeing them that much more.
Raptors got stronger. Bucks got stronger. So we're already both in sync there. Goran Dragic also involved in this trade. That's a name that we're going to be talking about later. He is again, either been waived or he's rumored to be waived soon. There are rumors that the Bulls are interested in getting him. So we'll talk about that in a bit.
I thought I saw Mark Stein or SI said he was basically a Maverick.
I would have said yeah, but we'll talk about that too, because we've got the Mavericks obviously made some moves today too, and I just don't think he fits. But we can talk about that in a minute here. Okay, next trade, we can kind of just breeze over this one. Boston gets a future second round pick, and they get some cap relief in giving up Bol Bol and PJ Dozier. Not really any implications here, Trey. I think we can just move on. Next trade, we have the Brooklyn Nets, the big one of the day, the Brooklyn Nets.
The trade,
the headliner. Brooklyn Nets receive Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, a 2022 first-round pick, unprotected, and a 2027 first-round pick, which is protected. I don't know the exact protections on it. I can't see that here. And Philadelphia, they get James Harden and Paul Millsap, who I assume they're going to, I don't know, maybe buy out. I don't know. He's maybe a buyout candidate as well. But they get their guy in James Harden. Big win for both teams, I think. This is a weird situation. Let me slow down a minute. Here's what I think. I think Daryl Morey, thankfully, got fleeced in this in a vacuum. But I think if you look at it in the macro sense, this works out for both teams. Daryl Morey gets his guy. James Harden, because you can't waste. I think that Brooklyn had all the leverage here. You can't waste what Joel Embiid is doing on the basketball court right now, Trey. He's playing like an MVP, man, right?
Yeah, and that's why I'm okay with it, and why I'll push back about you saying Morey getting fleeced. I think we don't know how many years we're going to have of Embiid like this, because we saw he didn't play his first 2 years, I think it was. So to me, I know Ben Simmons' age, like that kind of lined up better with Embiid. But to me, if you can get 85% of prime Harden to go with Embiid for the next 2 years, 3 years, to me, that's a win, especially when 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, you heard a lot of people saying that they needed to trade Ben Simmons for like a package around Harrison Barnes and Buddy Hield. There was all of this stress that they weren't going to be able to trade Ben Simmons for a star, and they were able to do just that. And I don't think this trade happens if Portland doesn't trade CJ McCollum to the Pelicans, freeing up all that cap space and being a threat to sign Harden in the offseason. I think that was the catalyst to get this trade done, because I think Brooklyn was scared Harden would leave.
Yeah, but I still think – so here's – let me back up to the fleecing comment. So Ben Simmons, you give up Ben Simmons, you know, whatever. He's not even playing for you, so you can't even really consider that a loss. But I'm looking at Seth Curry, and I'm looking at Andre Drummond, because Seth Curry, 41% three-point shooter for the year, you know, 15 points a game. I mean, this is actually a real loss for the Sixers, I think. And this was one of the sticking points in their conversations. Well, it was that Matisse Thybulle. They end up keeping Matisse Thybulle, so I thought that was a big win for the Sixers. But Seth Curry's nothing to seize at, man. They gave him up, and they also gave up Andre Drummond. And I know, you know, Drummond's got his faults, but I don't even know who the backup center is in Philadelphia now. I can't think off the top of my head who else they have at the center position. He played really well for them as a backup center. And I'm thinking about if the Sixers make it to the, you know, finals, and they have to play the Phoenix Suns, who have JaVale McGee and Bismack Biyombo and DeAndre Ayton. I would want that extra big body and Andre Drummond there too. So I think they gave up quite a bit, and they gave up a 2022 first round pick unprotected, which, I mean, it's probably going to be like pick number, you know, 29 or something. It's not going to be anything that impressive, but it's a first round pick and it's unprotected, and a 2027 first round pick also, which is protected. I don't know the protection of that one, but I just feel like they gave up quite a bit. But like you said, if the Sixers go on and even get to the finals, if they win the finals, if they win a championship, it's all worth it, right? So like I said, from a macro sense, I don't think it's a fleecing, but if you look at it in a vacuum, they gave up quite a bit for James Harden.
Oh, yeah, they definitely gave up a lot. I understand swapping Simmons for Harden wasn't going to happen, and they were going to have to give up some other assets. For me, I was happy that they kept Thybulle and moved Curry, because to me, you need that defensive stopper on the perimeter if you have Harden and Embiid. And to me, I think Thybulle just kind of fits this team a little bit better. And I know Curry has been amazing with Embiid, but Harden's coming in, and between Harden and Embiid, there's not going to be a lot of shots to go around.
It's true.
So to me, you know, Seth Curry, he's already 31 years old. So it's the price you have to pay to get James Harden for a couple years. for me. And then you brought up Drummond, the backup big spot. To me, I expect them to replace him with someone in the buyout market. You know, maybe they get Paul Millsap. Or wait, they traded. They already got Paul Millsap. They traded for him.
Oh, is that who they got? I can't remember. Somebody got Paul Millsap.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they know who they, you know who they won't have to get in the buyout market? Is Paul Millsap, because they already have him.
There you go. He's the other guy that came. So maybe, you know, maybe that's less of a drum roll. I kind of played it up like it was a nothing burger, but maybe it's a something burger. And he's a maybe a quality backup big. We'll see. I think Drummond's probably better. But, no, it's fair enough. And like I said, if they
A lot of Twitter draft nerds were high on Paul Reed coming out of college a couple years ago.
True.
And he is on the team, and he has played 19 games this year, starting 2.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him play a few games here and there, like when Embiid was out and stuff like that. He's not bad. So, and I think they got Charles Bassey too, if I'm not correct.
They do.
Yeah. So maybe they'll be set.
I love the trade for both teams. Mm-hmm. Just can't say that enough. I'm glad it got done, because as much as people want to whine about Ben Simmons getting his way or James Harden pouting his way off of two teams, I want to watch good basketball. I want to watch these guys play. I want to watch these teams compete. And when you look at everything that happened today, the Eastern Conference playoffs are they're going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
An absolute bloodbath.
I think this is, and you know what we've gone through today. I mean, we said, you know, Milwaukee got stronger, Toronto Raptors got stronger. This makes Philadelphia and Brooklyn both stronger. So all of the Bulls competitors got stronger. Makes me a little uneasy as a Bulls fan that we didn't get stronger, but I didn't expect us to make a huge splash. So it's not really all that concerning, but it is a little bit concerning. And I think this is also tipping you off, Trey, to the fact that you know, Eastern Conference GMs really saw what we saw, what everyone's seen, is that the Eastern Conference is just wide open. I mean, there's like 3 games separating first from 6th place. You know, it's so wide open, for it's there for the taking. So we have several teams just going for it this trade deadline, and the Bulls weren't one of them. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that, because I think in order to do that, you would have had to give up Patrick Williams. And I know we've talked about this ad nauseum, but I don't want to give up Patrick Williams. I think his ceiling is just too high for anything that we would theoretically get back in a trade. Anyways, do you agree with that? I'll let you do that before we move on.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. In terms of how this affects the Bulls, it's everyone else around them got stronger through trades, and we just have to hope that through getting everyone back and together, they can, you know, get back to those top 10 offense and top 10 defenses.
While we're recording this, the Brooklyn Nets are winning 59-55 against the Washington Wizards. Both of those teams decimated by their trades, which we'll get to some of the other stuff later. But I wanted to just take a moment there and tell you that they actually created a lot of value in our Thrive Fantasy bets today. So, hey, I just want to remind you that we do have a new daily fantasy partner at Sports Ethos, and it's Thrive Fantasy. Prop up with Thrive Fantasy on their mobile app or at thrivefantasy.com. Use code ETHOS when you sign up to get a 100% deposit match bonus on your first deposit, up to $100 plus either 2 or 4 free game tickets to play. Pick player props on the biggest names playing every night. Score points when your props hit, and the players with the most points win a share of the nightly prize money. And check out our Sports Ethos DFS team or podcast for advice on winners. Again, that code is ETHOS over at thrivefantasy.com. You can use my link in my Twitter bio. I am at BSBPKeith on Twitter. You can use my link there to sign up and get your first deposit match and all that good stuff. You actually do get to – I got 2 $25 tickets to the upcoming Super Bowl NFL thing, which you can win like $20,000 in if you get first place. I mean, there's like a million entries, but pretty cool to be able to enter that for free. So go do that. Enter that code. And if you don't get your promo, let me know, because I will hook you up with who you need to get with to get that. So, both those teams get stronger. Let's move on here to the next one, which is the Spurs making another trade here with the Celtics again. So this is an interesting one. I know you sent me something about this earlier, Trey, but the Boston Celtics received Derek White. Good get for them, man. And the San Antonio Spurs received Josh Richardson, 2022 first round pick again, another protected one, but it's only protected 1 through 4. They can get a lot of lottery pick there. And Romeo Langford. I'm going to let you start with this one, Trey. Tell me about those Celtics and how they won this trade.
I think Derek White is one of the most underrated players in the NBA. He is one of the best point of attack defenders in the league. As Bulls fans, what Caruso has come in and done for this team, he's been doing those same things for San Antonio. And I think what happens is people watch him play and they look at his hairline and he, you know, he's kind of got that Sideshow Bob look going, and they just don't take him serious. But he's a great creator. He's a great defender, and he's exactly what Boston needs. I'm trying to look up how old he is now, and I can't quite seem to find it because I went to the Spurs page for his information, and apparently so he's 27. He fits that time frame. Him and Marcus Smart are going to just lock people down on the perimeter. And again, this is a Bulls podcast. We've seen the difference in what our defense looks like when we have Lonzo and Caruso out there compared to when we have Io and Kobe, or, you know, when we have Kobe and Zach. Having strong point of attack defenders is just such a godsend to your defense. And Boston is already a top 10 defense. This is only going to strengthen it. Also, I had a stat earlier. It's that assist to usage that I bring up all of the time. It's one of my favorite stats. And Derek White has been in the 76th percentile the last 2 years. He's great at getting assists and not hogging the ball. When he's getting the ball, he's getting it to other guys. And that's exactly what Boston needs. Just an absolute win for the Celtics. And I think in 3 years from now, this might be the second trade we look back on. Not Sabonis. James Harden and Simmons, it's always, this trade deadline will always be defined by that. But I think Derek White might be the second biggest impact player that was moved this trade deadline.
Let me ask you a question, Trey. Do you think Derek White starts in the backcourt alongside Marcus Smart? Because they could theoretically roll out Marcus Smart, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and then Robert Williams. That could be the starting five.
Jaylen Brown could be the worst defender on the team, and he's an above average defender.
That backcourt scares the crap out of me. That is a delicious defensive backcourt there. Marcus Smart, obviously, aggressive, fantastic point of attack defender, and so is Derek White, as you said. That is quite frightening. They could also go bigger, obviously, with the double bigs, as they've been doing with Al Horford, and just bring Derek White or Marcus Smart off the bench potentially. We'll have to see how those rotations, play out. But I think I'm with you. I think they actually go with that three guard quote unquote lineup. Even though I think Jaylen Brown, he's pretty tall. He's definitely more of a small forward type body, I think. And you've got, Jason Tatum at power forward, I think is a big
one. Brown is 6'7".
Yeah, so that's enough length, I think. I think you can definitely do that starting five, and that's really scary. The Spurs, another big win for them because, again, they get another 2022 first-round pick. It's not protected. It's going to be from the Celtics. Probably going to be middle of the range. I mean, somewhere between 15 and 20 maybe even a little bit lower than that. But depending on how the Celtics do the rest of the season. Romeo Langford's an interesting prospect. Josh Richardson, I would have to figure – doesn't really figure into their plans. Maybe he gets some minutes here and there, or maybe they waive him. I don't know if they're going to or not, but it's all about that pick, I think. And you can see that the Spurs are really taking a direction here with a rebuild, which, I was predicting that would happen last season when they had DeMar DeRozan. I thought they could have gotten a lot of draft capital for DeMar DeRozan. Didn't do it, but happy to see them finally hit that reset button this year, Trey. Give me some quick thoughts on the Spurs.
Getting that pick unprotected was the win for them. The Spurs have shown they have a talent to draft in that middle range. That they just drafted DeJounte Murray, Devin Vassell, I think was kind of a later pick. They have a history of being able to find these guys in the teens and turning them into stars. I think Kawhi was like the 14th pick, something like that. They know what they're doing with those picks, kind of like the Raptors, the Heat. Some teams' middle of the pack first round picks are more valuable than others because other teams are going to waste them on guys like Poku. So, to me, this is a huge win for the Spurs. I don't want to call it a huge win because I really like what Derek White does, but it's a win for them. It's a step in the right direction, and I'm glad to see them kind of maybe starting to bottom out a little bit because if Popovich is going to be around for like the next 5 years, I'd like to see him with an up and coming team before he leaves.
But like you said, Derek White is 27, so it doesn't quite fit the timeline for the Spurs. They're looking more of like a Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, you know, whoever else. I mean, they're just looking at younger people. And I think 27 is kind of hitting that edge where it's like, okay, we can either flip this guy now or let him play for us for another year and then flip him next year. So we might as well get, you know, flip him now if we're going to get a first rounder, which I think makes total sense. So,
and it also does good by Derek White because it's not a contract year. He signed for the next four, but the Spurs have traditionally done a good job of taking care of their guys. So great, great trade overall, both sides.
Good both sides. Bulls implications. I mean, the Celtics just get scarier. I think the Celtics are really starting to play well recently. And man, they can be another scary team. The Celtics are a plus two. So that's, I think, four teams now, Trey, that we've said have gotten better now. And the Bulls kind of stood pat. But again, Bulls just have people out. We're going to get people back. I mean, that is really a reality here. So can't judge it too much yet. But that is scary for us, I would think. Next trade, this is interesting because it's got two guys in it that I wanted the Bulls to get. The Pacers receive Jalen Smith and a future second round pick. They're, I think, going to waive Jalen Smith, or they have already. I don't understand why they are, but anyways, Jalen Smith, future second round pick, and then Phoenix Suns receive Torrey Craig. He goes back to the Phoenix Suns, where he played well for them in the playoffs, and he's going to do well again. I love Torrey Craig. You know my Torrey Craig love. I was hoping the Bulls would go out and get this guy. It looks like it did cost him a future second and a developing player, which is a little bit pricey, so I could see why the Bulls wouldn't jump on it. I am confused, Trey, why the Pacers are waiving Jalen Smith. They don't want to even give him he's expiring at the end of this year, so I can understand that he might not be in their future plans, but I don't see why you don't play the guy, see what he's got, and then maybe extend him in the offseason.
So Jalen Smith had his rookie option turned down. I don't know the intricacies of the CBA well enough for that to be able to just rattle off the top of my head. To me, it sounds like something where, depending on what that has to do with what is allowed extension-wise and money-wise, it sounds like the Pacers just weren't going to be in a position to offer him a contract this year. And to me, I guess, if you literally have no intention of having him around and you know you're not going to have the money to keep him, I guess it's one of those, we're going to do you the solid, you can go somewhere else because you're not going to be here, rather than, you know, having him take up minutes that you can use for someone else to see what you've got in your guys, because you've got Duarte, you've got Halliburton. Now you have a lot of new pieces you want to try and fit in. So if you have people around that aren't going to be there, I guess I can understand the concept of, well, if you're not going to be here next year, we don't need you this year.
Yeah, and I'm trying to see, I can't remember exactly where I saw that on Twitter, but I did see somewhere it was an official, I can't remember, an official account of some kind that said they're likely to waive him. I don't believe they have waived him yet. I'm looking for that now. I don't see it. So maybe they do hang on to him. But you make a good point there, Trey, that it just works for both parties. And really, they wanted that future second more than anything. All they gave up was Torrey Craig, which isn't going to help them this year. And they want to give Isaiah Jackson some run. They're going to obviously hang on to Miles Turner. They probably want to see those two play next to each other to see if that works out. So, you know, it's a little bit of addition by subtraction if they end up not hanging on Jalen Smith, in that they get to see those guys play a little bit more next to each other. But yeah, I think this is good for both sides. Obviously, Suns just gives them some more depth. Torrey Craig played well for them. Not really much else to add there. Jalen Smith, like I said, I love him. If Indiana keeps him, I'd be great. If he gets waived, I hope the Bulls consider looking at him. You know, I think he's a great he can hit threes. Defensively, maybe a little bit questionable, but he hits threes, he rebounds the basketball, he can dribble it up the court, has good handles in the open court for a big man. The future second round pick, though, I think is what Indiana is all about. So not a ton of implications here for the Bulls, Trey, but obviously these are two guys, Jalen Smith and Torrey Craig, that I was hoping the Bulls would look at. And they might have a chance at Jalen Smith. Would you take him if they do end up waiving him?
Oh, I mean, of course. Why not? Might as well throw a flyer on him. So really what it comes down to, more than likely, the fact that the Bulls jumped the gun on Lonzo Ball probably cost them a chance to get Torrey Craig. Because the Bulls have Derek Jones Jr., 9.7 expiring. They could have been in the running for Torrey Craig if they had a second round pick, you know, in the next couple of years to throw that way. But they just, that it wasn't an asset they had because the league took it. So well worth, Lonzo Ball, well worth the price of maybe not getting Torrey Craig for a run. But I just, I kind of thought that was interesting, an interesting way to look at it, and something that other places might not be, because I think Torrey Craig would have been a great fit for the Bulls. And when we look at the Bulls' implications on this, I think it is, this is the one missed opportunity, really, for me. And I think it comes down to the, I think the league taking that second round pick, well, you know, we joked and we laughed about it. I think it might have actually came back to bite them a little bit here.
Yeah, that's a good point, Trey. So in case you're listening out there and aren't entirely clear on what Trey's talking about, it's the Bulls were caught for tampering. Obviously, the Lonzo Ball trade was announced within, I don't know, 30 seconds of free agency opening. And the league said there's no way that could have happened that fast. And so they fined us. They took away a second round pick from us for that tampering. So yeah, it could have been something we could have thrown for a Torrey Craig here, and we just didn't have it. Okay, next trade here, and this is a kind of a precursor to a bigger trade, but Charlotte Hornets get Montrezl Harrell, and the Washington Wizards get Ish Smith and Vernon Carey. Charlotte gets a center, not the guy I'm looking for if I'm Charlotte though. Charlotte just has no interest in playing defense, Trey. I don't think Montrezl Harrell is the guy I would have put at the top of my list for the Charlotte Hornets. What about you?
Yeah, the same exact reaction you had. They got a center. I just don't know that they got the right center.
And I mean, I would almost rather play, because Mason Plumlee's there and he's been playing well. I would almost rather play Mason Plumlee than Montrezl Harrell. I mean, Montrezl Harrell can come off the bench and score points, and that's fine, but I don't think it fills the need that they're looking for.
Me either, really. They really did need another big to have PJ Washington. He plays more like a four than a five, and I guess having Harrell, he can be your backup five. But to me,
yeah. It's a pretty meh thing. And Ish Smith is probably going to be the starting point guard for the Washington Wizards now after another trade we're going to talk about in a minute here. So Ish Smith, he's a good player. He's fine. Vernon Carey, I know that, you know, he's kind of a young guy and he's got some upside, but I think Wizards are more interested in getting off of Harrell's contract, which they had a little bit of buyer's remorse there. So it's really just about that. The Wizards seem to be gearing up. Well, we'll talk about in a minute another trade that happens. Obviously, they got Kristaps Porzingis, but they seem to be gearing up to try to extend Bradley Beal and maybe get another player to pair alongside Kristaps Porzingis and Bradley Beal. So I think it's more about a money thing here than anything else. What do you think?
Yeah, more than likely. I haven't had a chance to dive in to the financial specifics of the Porzingis trade yet and just kind of really take in everything that happened today. So when you say they're lining up to add someone to Beal and Porzingis, that if that is something they're able to line up, that's a great, I think that's a smart move by Washington, because then even if you do end up losing Beal, it's easy to blow it up.
And I believe the rumor is that Bradley Beal is going to turn down his play. I believe it's a player option. I might be totally off base on this, but it's like rattling around in my brain right now. I believe he's going to turn down his player option and become a free agent. So they're just trying to entice him, I think, to stay there. And Kristaps Porzingis, while he's hurt all the time, and that's really rough, they didn't give up a whole lot to get him. Let's just talk about that. The Wizards also gave up Aaron Holiday to the Phoenix Suns for nothing, basically, for cash considerations and a trade exception. So, again, that's just clearing cap space, I would think. And then the big one here is Wizards getting Kristaps Porzingis and a future second-round pick, and they give up Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans. Just wow. And I know you said this really kind of flabbergasted you, Trey, and kind of blindsided me, too. I didn't think Kristaps Porzingis would be traded today. But here you go. Now you have it. And like I said, we're talking about the Wizards already. Let's just keep talking in that vein. It's just about appeasing, I think, Bradley Beal and getting him a better running mate than Dinwiddie. Dinwiddie, I think we all knew, was going to be a horrible, horrible, horrible pairing with Bradley Beal. Turned out to be true. Davis Bertans was a terrible, terrible, terrible contract, which I was all over that when that happened. I said that's an awful contract to give that guy, even though he was having a historic season shooting the ball from three. So they get out from the Harrell, Dinwiddie, and Bertans contracts, and they get Kristaps Porzingis. Not bad, right?
Yeah, I really like the move for Washington. I think it's a great move. I didn't really understand what Dallas is doing. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
who are they playing at center now?
Dwight Powell.
Dwight Powell. I mean, he has been better with them ramping up their kind of defensive scheme, so maybe they think he's the long-term answer. For me, I really thought that Porzingis was starting to come into his own. I wonder, with Dinwiddie coming in, is Brunson going to be someone that they look to re-sign this year, or is he maybe on his way out? I know I saw Dorian Finney-Smith had already agreed to an extension. So
yes.
It looks like the Mavericks are just kind of locking in with this team that they've got.
Yeah.
Now,
well, they're playing well. They're playing well, and I think and Stephen Bagel was on the trade deadline show with me earlier, and he did mention this, and I think that's what it's all about, Trey, is that they just want to clear up that space to be able to extend Dorian Finney-Smith and Jalen Brunson. And I think there's maybe one other name that's an expiring contract for them. Obviously, they lost Tim Hardaway Jr. The rumors were that they were shopping him hard, but they couldn't move him. He's injured, so that doesn't really surprise me. So I think it was really just about just getting Kristaps out of there so that they could extend these guys they got. Because, like I said, they're playing well, winning games now. Luka's the man. But, yeah, they've got so many guards. And I know we were talking about Goran Dragic earlier, and, you know, he wants to join his Slovenian, guy over there than Luka in Dallas. But I just don't see it happening. They've got, you know, so many guards now. They've got Jalen Brunson. They've got Spencer Dinwiddie. They've got I just don't see it happening. What about you?
Oh, I'd almost guarantee he ends up there.
You think so?
You said they've got Brunson, they've got Dinwiddie.
I'm trying to think who else they have there, but I know that they've just
got... they've got Trey Burke, they've got Josh Green, they've got Luka, they've got Dwight Powell, Bullock, and then the rest are bigs. So to me, in terms of point guards, you've got Brunson and Dinwiddie, and then Dragic if he comes. So... I think you can play Brunson at the two, and I think that Dragic, I mean, he hasn't played all year because he wanted to play with Luka. Like, this has been his in-game goal for the entire year. So, to me, I'm not sure where else he would go. I think it's either here or Miami because he's been practicing in Miami.
Yeah.
And their point guard depth is a little bit less, but to me, I'd bet 85%. I would lean 85% he ends up a Maverick if I had to bet.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. And when you said we're saying point guards, I mean, I would include Luka Doncic as a point guard there. Now, how do you think about the pairing, the Luka Doncic and Spencer Dinwiddie? That is just a dreadful pairing, if I'm Dinwiddie needs the ball in his hands. Doncic needs the ball in his hands. I just don't see how that works out well for either of them. So even though I think – I don't really understand what they're doing, Trey.
I mean, I think Dinwiddie comes off the bench.
Yeah, sure.
To me, like Brunson and Luka have been playing well. And I also view Luka as a point guard on the offense, but in terms of his size and who he's guarding, like you can play two guards next to Luka, no problem.
Yeah.
So that whenever I was factoring in Goran coming in, that's kind of where my mind was on Luka, even though we all know that Luka's going to have the ball. So, yeah, for me, I feel like Dinwiddie, he's got the next 2 years on his contract. The third year's partially guaranteed. I'd almost expect him to maybe be moved in the offseason. Unless Brunson doesn't resign. I think he might be the Brunson insurance because – while they were able to lock up Smith, they weren't able to lock up Brunson. The Knicks are expected to be really, really interested in him. So if someone throws Brunson a crazy contract that the Mavericks don't want to match, maybe they just let Brunson go because they have Dinwiddie.
Possible. The other thing is that, they broke up that Porzingis contract into two smaller contracts. So those will be easier for them to move. But, for the Wizards, I do like what they did. I don't think there are any – issue for the Bulls this year. There's nothing, I don't think they're going to be, maybe they make the play-in if Porzingis even plays. I think, honestly, Porzingis probably sits the rest of the season and they just end up getting a good pick, wait till Beal comes back next season, wait till Porzingis is all the way healed up, and then they just go for it next season after they add another star. I would think that they'd have money to do that. So I don't think the Wizards are really anything to worry about this season. I actually think, if anything, they kind of went down as far as their roster goes. So let's move on, though. The Celtics. Getting Daniel Tice back, getting your guy Daniel Tice, our guy, our Bulls guy here. Houston gets Dennis Schroeder, Ennis Freedom, and Bruno Fernando. And I know Houston, I think that they already waived Dennis Schroeder. They definitely waived Ennis Freedom. What do you think here, man? Boston getting Daniel Tice. Pretty good depth for them at the power forward center positions, right?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. The Celtics players all love playing with Tice. We got to see why for a short time in Chicago. Just an absolute, a great move. Really glad to see Houston do the right thing for Tice, because they signed him not realizing how good Şengün was going to come in and be. And they just kind of, they're both kind of the same players. And when you're a rebuilding team like that, you're going to play the rookie. You're not going to play the veteran. So to see him get to go back to Boston, just, I love the trade overall. I thought it was a really good move.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's totally fine from the Boston standpoint. I think Houston's totally fine too. They're just getting rid of a guy that doing right by a guy that didn't have any place in their plans for the future. So pretty good deal both sides. I think we can move on here though, buddy. I think that's it. That's actually the last one on this list here. If I missed one, I apologize, but that's it. But let's transition here, Trey, to talking about the buyout market.
Wait, real quick, though, before we go away from trades. This whole time we kept saying, you know, the Bulls didn't do anything. I'm very happy. I'm very content with what the Bulls did. Was there any trade out there that you wish they would have done? Like, is there a player you wish they would have moved? Is there something you wish they would have done? When you look back at this trade deadline, do you say to yourself, I'm happy with the Bulls, but, because the only but I had was the Torrey Craig.
Yeah.
And
that's the one that immediately jumps to my mind too. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, and for me, that one was just kind of the lack of having the assets to throw at it.
Yeah.
But that was the big one for me. That was the one that stuck out.
Well, I think Jalen Smith had suitors. So I think it was too high of an asking price, honestly, at the end of the day. Even if we had that second round pick, you'd probably have to pair it with someone like, I don't know, maybe you can get away with like a Troy Brown Jr. Or something like that, which I just don't know if that's worth it to go get Torrey Craig. I think at the end of the day, I'd probably go and do it because he fills a better space for us than like a Torrey Brown Derrick Jones Jr. If you happen to get away with it. I don't think the salaries match, but no, to answer your question, not really. There's not really one that jumps out at me and says, man, the Bulls really slot into, you know, a great spot here where they could have gotten this guy or whatever, and they had the assets and the correct things. Like, I don't want Kristaps Porzingis if he was available. I mean, he's injured all the time. Why do I want him? And I'd have to give up way too much salary to get him. Montrezl Harrell, I'm not interested in having him on a team that's terrible defensively. Jalen Smith and Torrey Craig, those are the two guys that, you know, high on my list of guys that I wanted. So I'd love to have been involved in that. But I just don't think it worked out. I think that the trade that happened was just too pricey for the Bulls. So, but back at you, man. Anything that besides that, I know you already said the same one basically, but any other ones that pop out to you or names that pop out to you that you think, oh man, the Bulls could use that?
No, nothing else really jumped out to me.
What about Bull Bull? They could have gotten Bull Bull for a future second round pick. Come on.
Yeah. I was very happy, but I've been on the keep it together bandwagon. You know, I was big on don't trade Kobe White. I've been that guy who values his guys too much, probably. So before we moved off of trades, I wanted to have that last little nail in the coffin. So yeah. Trade season, it's done.
It's over. Yeah. Everyone gave everyone away, and speaking of giving, stop giving your personal information to your ISP. On top of overcharging, your ISP is allowed to legally sell your browsing history to third-party advertisers for a ton of cash. Take your privacy back with ExpressVPN. Head to our special promotional link at expressvpn.com/hoopball to get 3 bonus months on a 12-month subscription. It's super easy. Turning it on takes just one click, and it works great with streaming services like Netflix or sports packages like League Pass 2. Once more, that's expressvpn.com/hoopball, H-O-O-P-B-A-L-L. So go grab those 3 bonus months right now and use that VPN there so you can watch all those League Pass games and all that good stuff. But yeah, Trey, that's going to bring us to the conclusion of the trade season. Going to transition here. We got maybe about 10 minutes left here to talk about the buyout, potential buyout market. We don't know who's bought out just yet. But I do have a handy list here from the Athletic NBA at the Athletic NBA on Twitter. They put together a nice little solid graphic here of guys that are potentially going to be bought out. Let me read these to you, Trey. And when I'm done, just keep in mind some people that jump out to you that you'd like to add. John Wall, bought out by the Rockets. Gary Harris from the Magic. Goran Dragic from the Spurs. Eric Bledsoe from the Trailblazers. Robin Lopez from the Magic. Corey Joseph from the Pistons. Ennis Freedom from the Rockets. Tristan Thompson from the Pacers. Paul Millsap from the Sixers. And Mike Muscala from the Thunder. Again, Ennis Freedom is the only one I think that's actually been waived or bought out in this list. But this is a list of people that the Athletic thinks are likely. This is according to John Hollinger at the Athletic, are likely to be bought out. So any of those names jump out to you, Trey?
I wrote down Lopez, Thompson, Millsap, and Muscala.
All bigs. You're looking big. Yep. Yeah.
All bigs. Yeah. Two and a half can shoot the three. Thompson, the one. Being the one that can't. Really, it's all about size for me. And Ennis Freedom is the only one I didn't write down. His complete lack of defense, along with his complete lack of self-awareness, just completely turns me off of him. I don't want to have to root for that guy. So I don't think he'd be an asset. And
you don't like CPAC Freedom? Come on now.
Right. Adding those two things together, it's just a no-go for me. So if we could get Lopez, Thompson, Millsap, or Muscala on the buyout market, that would just be a huge win for the Bulls, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would love to see a reunion with Robin Lopez. I loved him when he was here. I think he's just a hilarious guy, first of all, first and foremost, and that's important to me because I like to laugh. But no, he's a decent center, too. I mean, I think – excuse me. I think he's got some deficiencies at the defensive end, honestly, too, if I'm being quite honest. I think he's an okay rim protector. He has some lapses on the defensive end, in my opinion. On offense, he's actually better than people think he is, but he needs the ball in his hands to do it. So he's not the best option in the world, but I would still love a reunion with him. He's obviously better than Tony Bradley. I mean, come on. And then the other guy I think that jumped out to me here is Tristan Thompson, who I think actually is probably – just a peg higher than Robin Lopez for me, just because he brings that one-dimensional rebounding defense type game, which I think just complements Vucevic so well. I think it's, you bring that in and it's just a different speed from Vuce. And I think that's really what this team is missing, is just somebody that's going to, knock people down at the rim, be just a tenacious boarder. We saw what he did with the Cleveland Cavaliers when LeBron was there. So I'm with you on those being the top targets. I have a little bit of interest, too, in the guards, too. If they're going to be bought out, we can get them, as like kind of rentals until Lonzo Ball's back. Corey Joseph, I've always been on that bandwagon. I like him a lot. And I do have some interest also in Goran Dragic if he ends up wanting to come here. I come to the Chicago Bulls. I don't think he does. I think you're right. I think he goes to Miami or Dallas. I think he probably goes to Miami personally, but Dallas, I could see that happening too. But if he's willing, man, that's a great guy to have just until Lonzo Ball gets back, and then some great depth once Ball is back, right?
Yeah, I'm just worried about having too many guards once everyone gets back, but if you're getting someone off the buyout market, they have to come in knowing, hey, eventually I'm probably not going to be getting a lot of minutes. So Joseph probably would have been the guy I wrote down. Dragic, again, I've kind of just settled on the fact he's probably not coming here. So I don't want to get my hopes up because I do think he would be an excellent guy to have around. I think he's one of those point guards who does a good job of running a team. And that's just one of those things that it seemed like every point guard could do it there, 20 years ago. And now it's a rarity that a point guard can kind of get everyone else involved and run a team. So I'd like to see them. But for me, the buyout market, it's really about the bigs.
Yeah, that is the first and foremost thing. The only thing about the guards that I'm looking at, Trey, it just makes me uncomfortable. I don't, especially with Io out in the concussion protocol. I know he's questionable for the next game, so he'll be back shortly. But I just don't. I still don't necessarily buy Io in that full-time point guard role. I know I'm in the minority there. I know I've gotten some, I wouldn't say flack, but I've had some conversations with people on Twitter about Io versus Lonzo Ball, who's better for Vucevic and who has a better rapport. I think I could be convinced that Io has a better rapport with Vucevic, and I think he's been a fantastic distributor. But I just don't know if I buy him as a full-time point guard. And Kobe White, I really don't buy as a full-time starting point guard. So I just feel like we're still a little bit thin there. And I mean, that's a byproduct of being down Lonzo Ball and also Alex Caruso, who both would be guys that I would put ahead of those other two guys as far as starting point guard for us. So I would take a one-year rental on a guy at point guard. But do you feel differently about that?
Do I feel differently about which part?
About having a one-year rental at the point guard position. Do you feel that we have too many guards?
Yeah, I mean, if everyone's healthy, I think we have too many guards. I like Io as the backup point guard. I do think Lonzo is the better point guard, but I think there is the argument to be made that Lonzo doesn't run the pick and roll a lot. He's not in the half court sets. He's not the dominant point guard. He's not the guy starting the actions. He is a great, he's great getting the ball and making that connective pass, or, seeing the defense isn't there and taking the open shot. But I do think Io is the better point guard in terms of running the pick and roll and starting the offense. And that maybe that comes from doing it so much at Illinois over the last 3 years with Kofi Cockburn. But to me, I do think there is the argument for that. I just think there's, so when we're healthy, we've got Lonzo and Caruso. We've got, when we're healthy, let's say Patrick Williams is around too. So, you've got your starters are what, Lonzo and Zach. And then you've got Caruso, Green, Io, Kobe White. Like that's just a lot of depth at the guard position to be bringing in somebody who is coming in off a buyout market expecting to get, 10, 15 minutes a game.
That's true. I wouldn't necessarily call Javonte Green. I know he is technically a guard, but Javonte Green in his position with us, I wouldn't call him a guard. He's been playing power forward, small forward for us. So I'm looking more at like ball security and, breaking down presses, especially when late in games, we already have problems with it, with dealing with, pressure up the court. And it just drives me nuts sometimes. So I wouldn't mind adding an extra guard. So if they don't, it's not going to break me though, Trey. So it's okay. But that's going to be it, man. That's going to do it for us. It was an exciting trade deadline. Lots and lots of trades, lots of action. Bulls didn't get on it, but that's okay. We're okay. Everything's going to be fine. Bulls Nation. We're set, man. We're fine. But before we do sign off, I want to also remind you all to use coupon code HoopBall20 at manscaped.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. And also check out our pals at mybookie.ag. Use code HoopBall on the third page of sign up to unlock deposit match bonuses there as well. No game tonight for the Bulls, obviously, but they do play tomorrow and I believe Saturday too. They have a back-to-back coming up. So we'll be talking to you guys shortly. Until then, I am Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at FinalFinally.
And please follow the show, guys, at Ethos Bulls. I see a lot of people following us recently, so thank you, all of our new followers. Tell your friends, just get this to grow, man. We're at like 300 followers, 305 now. It's growing, but we would love to see it grow some more. So at Ethos Bulls, go give us a follow there. But until next time, go Bulls!
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Tantandia products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.